welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Helias Crusaders. I'm your host, Tony Hawley, sitting here with Tom Rackers of the News Tribune. Before Tom and I start to mix things up this week, let's listen to a little bit of Tom's conversation with Helias head coach Chris Henches.
Chris, look back at last week real quick. You know, a big win, up 35-7. Probably weren't necessarily overly happy with the second half, but, you know, you got the victory.
Yeah, you know, and that's one of the things we talked about. You know, very happy with the way we played in the first half. You know, particularly the second quarter, I thought we really, you know, we really executed well in the pass game, and defense got us the stops we needed. And third quarter, some of that in the third quarter was us not overcoming penalties. You know, we got penalties that stopped our drives and some poor execution. And, you know, you always kind of look in the mirror, too, as coaches, and, man, we shouldn't have called that play and killed drives. And, you know, defense, they moved the ball on us, and, you know, they – credit to them. I mean, they scored, one in the third quarter. We didn't score in the third, and they scored another one early in the fourth quarter. And we looked at the clock. There was 10 minutes left, and we got a two-score game. It's a ball game. And was very happy with our drive in the fourth quarter. That six-minute drive that ended in a field goal extended it to a three-score game. And, you know, at that point, I felt the game was in hand.
You know, that first half especially. Another good performance by the offense, who's had a series of those recently, haven't they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, we ended up with over 450 yards of offense and pretty balanced, really, run and pass. And, you know, those first couple scoring drives, I was really happy with our ability to keep them off balance. I thought Drew played really well and, you know, threw four touchdown passes in the first half and rushed for one and, you know, really probably had his best half of football he's had in a long, long time.
Yeah. You know, it's been two big games the last 2 weeks. Are you concerned, you know, tonight against Sedalia might be a bit of a letdown game potentially?
You know, I don't think so. I sure hope not. That, you know, that I think our focus, you know, will be there. We've had a good week of practice. You know, Coach Gray comes from Kearney, so he brings in a lot of that Kearney offense and defensive philosophy, which we're familiar with. And, you know, he was a longtime defensive coordinator up there. So their defense, and I'll just talk from an offensive perspective, their 3-3 defense has always been a tough nut to crack. I'll be real honest with you. I remember back in 2009, you know, he was the defensive coordinator when we played them in the state championship game. Of course, they had unbelievable personnel like Joel Windsor and stuff who was unblockable for us. But it's a tough scheme to attack. And so that probably worries me more than anything else, not the focus of the kids, but our ability to attack this. It's kind of a unique 3-3 structure.
You know, we're talking about him and then Matt Perkins up in Rockbridge. The coaching tree has gotten a lot better in this conference the last year or two, hasn't it?
Yeah, I think it has. And, you know, Coach Perkins always did a great job down at West Plains. And now Coach Gray's coming in with a great pedigree from Kearney and really building a program. You can see it. They're playing so much harder. And that's what jumps out on tape. You know, the last few years we played them, you didn't see that effort on tape consistently. It was there, but not consistently. And I think Sedalia is buying into what he's selling, and they're playing really, really hard.
Thanks, Chris.
All right. That was Helias head coach Chris Henches. And Tom, I mean, how big or not big was winning the city championship last week?
It's not anything you want to lose.
Sure.
You know, and
right.
I'm not trying to downplay it or anything, but, you know, they've won it.
Right.
You know, three times now. And so
right.
They like it. It is a goal going into the year.
Sure.
You know, that is the first goal. You know, the second goal is always win the CMAC, which isn't going to happen this year. You know, that's going to go to Rockbridge more than likely, unless they stumbled this week, and I don't know. But you know, it's a big deal to them. They don't want to lose those games.
Yeah.
They want to be the best, call themselves the best program in town.
It, you know, the final score of 38-21, looks maybe a little bit deceptive from the standpoint of, I talked about it with Trevor Hahn on the Jays podcast, that game kind of really swung right before halftime there. There was kind of a couple key plays there, and, you know, that's the sort of thing where when you're going to try to win a game like that, sometimes it can swing, you know, either momentum or play or just, you know, a quick score here, a quick score there when you're maybe not expecting one can kind of hinge the game sometimes.
Yeah, they really turned it on late in that second quarter, you know, extended the lead to 35-7 at halftime, and for all intents and purposes, the game was pretty much over at that point. You know, that the offense is which struggled, you know, for a couple games, it has kind of turned it back on a little bit here, a little bit against Capital City and a pretty good half against Jeff City. And so, you know, that's kind of what you want to see as we're getting closer and closer to the postseason.
Right. That was kind of my next question was, so what was it, just one extremely good half and maybe just one solid half? Or what was the difference between the two halves? Because, you're looking at that halftime score thinking, wow, this one could get really lopsided by the end of it. And as it was, you know, you'll end up with, a field goal after halftime for the Crusaders.
Penalties, the third quarter was just kind of a lull. You know, they couldn't over – they kind of got in their own way with penalties and things like that. And Jeff City played well offensively and got back, you know, got scored a touchdown to cut it to 14. Wait, is that right? Cut 30 to make it 35-14 and then scored really early in the fourth quarter to make it 35-21. And there's like 10 minutes left, and it's like two-score game, 10 minutes left. Game is back on.
Right.
And,
right.
You know, you're one bad series away from, you know, it's a one-score game, and who knows at that point.
Right.
But Hollis was able to go on a six-minute drive, got it down to like 4 minutes left in the game, and they kicked the field goal, got up 17, and, you know, then they kind of exhaled.
Right.
You know, the gang got the win.
Exactly. So it takes the Crusaders to 5-2 overall, 4-1 in the CMAC. I think I'm not telling tales out of school when I say that this week gets a whole lot easier from the standpoint of, you know, you're hosting a 1-6 Smith Cotton team that's 0-5 in the CMAC, and you know, I think some of their scores have been a little bit better this year than maybe last year in terms of being a little more competitive, but it is still a Tigers team that's kind of struggling right now.
Yeah, they're getting better. You know, a new coach came from Kearney. Chris and I talked a little bit about that, I think, in the interview that you had heard earlier in the podcast. That, you know, kind of the attitude has changed. They're playing hard for 48 minutes, and, you know, kids are working. He said you can just watch on tape that they are getting better. You know, they're not necessarily getting the results you want right now.
Right.
And it is a process, but, you know, they are improving.
And I think, to me, maybe that nothing speaks to that better than just maybe last week's game, where yes, they lose to Capital City, but it was a 42-29 decision, and people need to remember that's a much improved Capital City team that we've seen this year. So just the fact that I think they kind of, you know, made that one closer than maybe some people thought going in that it might be, maybe speaks to the fact that they have not given up on the season. They, you know, it'd be really easy to pack it in, you know, at that point. But, you know, they were, you know, I know they fell down pretty big early, but they were able to kind of claw their way back into that one, make that one closer than it should have been come finish time.
Yeah, you know, like the last 2 years playing Hawaii's, I think Sedalia scored 2 field goals against them. And I mean, I think basically on the last play of the game both years.
Right.
So, you know, to kind of, I don't want to say make the score look respectable, but just to get on the scoreboard, I don't know that that's going to happen tonight. I think that their offense is good enough that Hawaii's is going to have to play a little bit to test themselves to get to where they're going to keep them off, to try to get a shutout or try to keep them out of the end zone.
I was going to say, you know, with that offense maybe putting up a little bit better numbers than it has in recent memory, what is it about them that maybe has to concern the Crusaders heading into this one?
So they have talented skill players. You know, the Lane Simmons, a quarterback, kind of gets them going. You know, I think he's second on the team in rushing, but Chris said, you know, we've watched him on tape, and he, you know, they probably dropped back to pass 80 times this year, and he's probably taken off and run on 40 of them.
Okay.
So, you know, it's kind of like if his guy isn't open, he's going.
Okay.
And so they've got to kind of be prepared for that, you know, because they don't throw the ball very much. So they've thrown it, I think, 40-some times this year and don't have a great completion rate. Now, the kids that do catch it, a lot of these happen to turn out to be big plays.
Okay.
But they've really only they've scored, I think, 17 touchdowns this year, and only one of them passing.
Okay.
So, but let's remember, Hawaii fans, the last couple weeks, Capital City run game threw the ball more than they wanted to,
right,
and had some success with it. Last week, Jeff City runs the ball all the time. threw the ball more than they usually do, had right. some success with it. I wouldn't be surprised if they try to come out and do the same thing again.
I was going to say, sometimes coaches are just creatures of habit. They see what maybe worked a game or two before against some people, and sometimes they try it even when it's not something that maybe they're necessarily suited for. You know, sometimes it's just a matter of, yes, yep. keeping the other team honest, but sometimes you're looking and going, well, until they can stop that, then maybe we should try it too.
Exactly. You know, and that's what I would do. I mean, teams have had a little bit of success throwing against them. Why not keep doing it?
Yeah.
And until they stop you, you know, Jeff City kept with it, which was smart. Capital City kept with it, which was smart. And, you know, right. and I think you might see that tonight. I don't know. This may not quite be the quality passing games that we've seen the last 2 weeks, but we'll find out.
Yeah. So then offensively, for the Crusaders, do they have much to be concerned about in terms of the Tigers' defense, or what is it about maybe that Smith Cotton throws at you that they have to be concerned about?
Well, Kearney brought, the coach brought the Kearney defense to Sedalia. Basically, it's a three-man front, a 3-3 kind of thing. And Hawaii's has seen it. Hawaii's has played Kearney, so they know what they're getting into.
Right.
He said, now, obviously, these kids aren't the Kearney kids yet.
Sure.
But he said, we've had problems moving the ball against it. And so we're going to have to kind of be sharp, Chris said, and the sharp to move the ball.
Okay.
And, you know, they've got a decent defensive line, big kids, hard to move, and decent linebackers. You know, it's going to be – Hawaii's is going to have to be able to run the ball, get 4, 5, 6 yards on first down to try to keep the defense honest so they're not sitting back at 2nd and 8 and 3rd and 7 and trying to throw the ball.
Yeah. It's worth noting, I mean, people can probably figure it out on their own, but this is the final CMAC game of the season. It's kind of interesting how the way that it always works out with the conferences. You get the CMAC games done by week 8, and then you have a non-conference there in week 9 before, and then you start in the playoffs. So this is kind of almost in some ways a weird kind of sense of finality to it, even though you've got one more game coming after this. So, you know, I just wonder what do you think about just in terms of this week, in terms of one against a team that you probably are expecting to have the better of, and then kind of have that one weird game after that. How much does focus enter into things for the Crusaders the next couple weeks?
I asked Chris that very question. I go, are the kids focused? I mean, let's face it, you played Capital City and Jeff City the last 2 weeks.
Right.
Nothing against Sedalia,
right.
But you played 2 big games in a row.
Yeah.
And against kids that the kids know, you mm-hmm. know, and game that they want to win. They wanted bragging rights for.
Right.
You know, is everybody up for it for this week? And he said, yeah. I mean, we only get like 9 shots at this a year. Yeah. The kids have got to be okay. up and be up and
fair
ready
enough.
For this.
Fair enough.
And,
yeah.
you know, be ready to play every week. And, you know, that's tough to do. You know, we've all, they're kids.
Sure.
But, you know, you'd think that they would be focused and ready to play.
Absolutely. I guess the other big question at this point in the season is, you know, after getting 7 games under your belt there, you know, we talked about it last week, but, you know, this team was dinged up before last week. How did they come out of last week, and how are we looking from the injury front, at the, you know, heading into this final stretch of the season?
Yeah.
I'm going to take that's not a good laugh.
Well, it came out of the game okay. During the week, Trevor Cobb, who returned from injury last week to play, injured his ankle, so he's out.
Okay.
He's back out, which leaves them, you know, if you go back to week 1, from the week 1 offensive line to the starting offensive line tonight, there's 1 guy left.
Wow.
That is still in the lineup.
Yeah.
Now, kids will be returning, but there's only one of them be the same, Jace West. So they've had to mix and match and do some things, and yeah, that's not great this time of the year, but kids are stepped up, kids are playing. They're going to get Brady Rush back, who missed the J game after having a concussion, but he cleared symptoms. He's ready to go.
Okay.
He looked good at practice on Wednesday. I saw him run a little bit. So they've got some injuries, but they're going to have them. Chris said, you know, some of the linemen were hoping, they're hoping
right.
they will be back. If not for the first district game, if Hawaii was to win that first district game, which they should, be back for the district semifinals against whoever that was. So I know 2 to 3 weeks, they'd rather be safe than try to rush them back.
Sure.
So the line could be back in decent shape, but it may be a couple more weeks.
Yeah, it's almost, I guess, maybe you have to just kind of adopt a different mentality at this point in the season and just go, the guys that we had last week are most of the guys we're going to have. And then if anybody else comes back, I guess that's just an added bonus at this point, because you've almost just got to say, well, we're not going to plan on them, but if we get them, great.
Yeah, the guys are playing well. I mean, you know, again, 35 points in the first half against Jeff City. A really nice output. That wasn't going to happen if those guys up front were not doing what they were supposed
sure.
to do.
Right.
And so they deserve all the credit. You know, they're showing that they've got the depth, you know, that didn't necessarily the experience, but the depth now that quality kids are getting a chance to play.
Yeah. All right. I'll just add it, put it straight on, straight to you. Who wins tonight and what's the score?
I'm going to pick Colias to win, but I think it might be a little closer than people think.
You okay. know,
last year it was 35-3 at Sedalia. Okay, I'm going to say a little bit closer. I think it'll turn out to be like 35-7 Colias tonight.
All right, that should do it for this week. For Tom Rackers, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, pick up a copy of the Goal Line section in Friday's News Tribune, and get game updates and more prep sports content all week by following Tom Rackers on Twitter at TJRackers. Thanks for listening.